Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now back to what's been happening in Downing Street. More Conservative MPs this morning going public with their criticism of their Prime Minister. The British Education Select Committee Chair, MP Robert Halfen, who previously said he would give Boris Johnson the benefit of the doubt, has called on him to resign. The MP Lee Anderson says Johnson should go. The Minister for School Standards, Robin Walker, has resigned, as has John Glenn, who we mentioned earlier, and Felicity Buchan. So although it's very difficult to keep a running tally in the past day, it would appear to be about 15 resignations from the Conservative government at this stage. I'm joined now on the line by Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror, and Henry Hill, Deputy Editor of Conservative Home. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us this morning. Kevin, it's moving very fast, as I'm saying. We're seeing reports that the 1922 committee will meet later today. Andrew Bridgen, MP, was on our programme earlier. He said he's going to run for the committee. He wants to see Boris Johnson out, and he thinks going through the committee is the way to do it.
Yeah, because they can change the rules to authorise another no-confidence vote, lifting the 12-month bar on a second ballot. There's no doubt we're in the end game now for Boris Johnson. I really cannot see him surviving this, because people who were incredibly loyal to him. You mentioned Lee Anderson, the MP. He was a real Boris Johnson loyalist. He would his seat in the British Midlands in part because of Boris Johnson. People like Robert Halfen, they don't jump and attack leaders unless they really feel it's for good reason. And the, a lot of speculation now amongst MPs that, yes, that 1922 committee, Tory backbenchers, have their elections a week today, get a new executive, they can change the rules to have an all-confidence vote, but may a delegation, because the overwhelming majority of Tory MPs now think Boris Johnson should go, will a delegation of men and women in grey suits go and say to the Prime Minister, look, the game is up, and hope that he sees sense and quits.
You'll know that as from as early as 6 a.m. today, Downing Street representatives were briefing journalists at the Prime Minister intended to carry on. He had a job of work to do and he was determined to get on with it. Do you think that might have changed over the last 5.5 hours? He's got PMQs coming up at 12 p.m.
I don't know is the truth, and I'm in Parliament now and you just see groups of Conservative MPs meeting, chatting, but the overwhelming sense is they think Boris Johnson will go, and if there is a no-confidence vote, he will lose it. Could he surprise us? Because he is somebody who's always put himself first throughout his career. It's proved successful to him. People have been damaged by it on his rise to the top. He's made it to number 10. Will he give up easily? No. Mm-hmm. But if he sees he's going to lose a vote, will he try and save some dignity and resign instead of being booted out? That's a question I can't answer.
Yeah, there's another one gone. Home Office Minister Victoria Atkins has resigned from her role. Henry, bullish is the word we've been hearing, and it would certainly appear that Boris Johnson is not going to go anywhere voluntarily. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he realises or recognises at this point that however slim his chances of pulling this back and doing anything worthwhile in government, if he leaves now, his legacy is in ruins. He won't even have survived Theresa May. He won't even have been Prime Minister as long as Theresa May, who was widely considered to be a kind of interim figure at the end. So, yes, he's going to cling on as long as possible. But I think at some point, the fundamentals just start. You run out of people. That's what's happening here. Ministerial resignations can't force a Prime Minister to resign. The only mechanism for that within the Conservative Party is the 1922. But at this point, the fact that he couldn't appoint his first choice as Chancellor, I think, is the most telling thing that's happened over the past 24 hours.
Oh, tell us more. Tell us more about that, because that was the rumour last night. What happened?
So basically, Nadeem Zahawi, who is the former Education Secretary, who is now Chancellor, was in Downing Street for 2 hours. And what has been reported is that actually Boris Johnson wanted to appoint Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, who's currently dealing with the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, amongst other things, as Chancellor. But Nadeem Zahawi said that if he wasn't given the Chancellorship, he would resign. And the Prime Minister clearly didn't feel able to withstand another high-profile resignation. And so he folded. Now, Prime Ministers have withstood senior cabinet resignations in the past, but I think that once you're at the point where you are unable to appoint your preferred candidate to one of, if not the most important cabinet positions, that's the real signal that the game is up.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, Kevin? Is that what you had heard as well, that Liz Truss was choice number one?
Oh, no, absolutely heard the same. And then the question was, would Nadeem Zahawi be moved over at the Foreign Office to replace her? But no, he's weak. He's never been weaker, Boris Johnson. I can't see how he will get stronger, because it will just get worse. But I guess, you know, all his instincts will be to cling on, always hope tomorrow's a sunnier day, that somehow events can change the political mood. I think that's very, very unlikely. It's, you know, the mood against him is just absolutely turned. And really, Conservative MPs are going to make a decision. Do they try and save themselves, or do they save Boris Johnson and decide if they want to save themselves?
Henry, is the problem solved, though, for the Conservative Party if Boris Johnson resigns?
I mean, I think Boris Johnson's resignation is necessary but not sufficient for solving the problem for the Conservative Party, because a lot of the problems are personally to do with him. He's a massive drag on the Conservative vote and brand at this point. But a lot of damage has already been done. So the next Prime Minister, whoever it is, will face an extraordinarily difficult task. We're at most 2 years out from a general election at this point, probably. They have 2 years to try and steady the ship, rebuild the brand, the Conservative Party standing with voters, and do what Boris Johnson never managed to do, which is deliver a policy program which will not only help navigate the cost of living crisis, which looks to be very painful, but also try and stitch together this extraordinary coalition that Boris Johnson built that stretches all the way from, you know, constituencies in the north of England that have never voted Conservative before to ex-Liberal Democrat seats in the southwest, and try and find a program that will build that coalition into a long-term basis for the Conservative vote, because Boris hasn't managed to do that. He's only ever managed to please one side or the other, and now he's losing both in by-election after by-election.
Victoria Atkins, the latest person to resign, in her letter said, "I can no longer pirouette around our fractured values. We can and must do better than this." It certainly seems as though, Henry, the writing is on the wall. But do you think that the government will try to continue with a new leader at the helm, or is an election now inevitable?
An election is not inevitable, I don't think. The government absolutely won't want to go to the polls unless and until there's a honeymoon period for the new leader, they might risk it. Say if somebody like Ben Wallace or somebody else who's not particularly controversial and is generally quite highly regarded comes in, they might go to the polls if he has a honeymoon over the summer. But other than that, there's no imperative for the government to have an election. It still has a comfortable overall majority in the House of Commons. There will be no pressure for Tory MPs to have an election if they think they're going to lose their seats. So they might go for one if it looks advantageous, but otherwise I would expect the government to hang on.
You could argue, though, that Boris Johnson got elected on his mandate, Kevin. It was a personal vote. People believed all of the promises that he made in 2019. So if a new leader of the Conservative Party is installed, does that person have a mandate to carry on?
Yeah, I think their legitimacy is questioned, because they weren't the leader of a party that was elected, but under the British Constitution, it's entirely permissible for somebody to be elected by MPs, dumping a leader, getting somebody else, and then going on until the next election. It's not against the rules at all. And the Fixed Term Parliament Act, which set parliaments at 5 years unless the House of Commons voted by a two-thirds majority or the Prime Minister lost a no-confidence vote, is being abolished. So a Prime Minister can just jump in a car, go to the palace, ask the Queen for a general election whenever they like. I think the opposition parties will, of course, demand an election, a general election, as they constantly do. And then for Labour, the Liberal Democrats, the SNP and the other parties, the great dilemma they face is they want Boris Johnson's scalp, but at the moment he is their best electoral asset because he is so unpopular. YouGov, the pollster, found 69% of people believed he should quit, including 54% of Conservative voters at the 2019 general election.
Yes. We're hearing, Bloomberg is reporting that at 5 p.m. today there'll be a meeting of the 1922 committee. No harm, Kevin, for you to explain to us what is likely to happen at that meeting.
Yeah, the 1922 committee, which is the committee of Conservative backbenchers, very powerful. They're going to open nominations for their new executive. The Downing Street, through the government whips, was trying to organise a loyal slate. The rebels, or the anti-Johnson majority, will win. Once that executive is elected, it has the power to to change the rules of the Conservative Party in Westminster so it could lift the 12-month bar on a second no-confidence vote. And that is what Boris Johnson fears most, because he would almost certainly lose it. Would that be before the summer, or would it be in the autumn? Again, that will depend on who is elected to that executive.
Okay. The Conservative backbencher Daniel Kavchinsky this morning, Henry, said that the resignations, he believed, would ultimately strengthen Boris Johnson's position. And he praised the Prime Minister's political nous, hear me out, in appointing Nawid Zahawi as Chancellor. So we were all listening to the new Chancellor this morning. He did his round of interviews. This particular clip is from BBC Radio 4. Let's take a listen to Chancellor Zahawi's performance.
I think actually, in my view, that's good leadership. If you come out and say, look, I made a mistake, I make decisions every day at warp speed, I don't get all the decisions right.
Mr. Zahawi, we're not talking about his decision, we're talking about whether he tells the truth. Rishi Sunak resigned. The only reason you are Chancellor this morning is because Mr. Sunak has told the public that you cannot expect this government to behave competently and seriously and properly. I am asking you whether you told the truth and whether Boris Johnson told the truth. And the simple answer is, you didn't and he didn't.
Well, all I would say to you is, to the best of my knowledge, I told the truth. That's what I knew, the specific allegations against Chris Pincher, when the Prime Minister was informed about them and told that there was a formal complaint, he took action. The Prime Minister last night apologised and said, look, with the benefit of hindsight, I made a mistake and I am sorry.
So that was the new Chancellor there, and Daniel Kavchinsky, as I said, the Conservative backbencher, praised Boris Johnson's political nous in appointing him as Chancellor. What say you, Henry Hill? How did you rate his performance?
I mean, at this point, basically, you've got people who are in Boris Johnson's government for two reasons. The first is, and I think that Zahawi falls into this category, they're basically using their position as a platform to run for the leadership in the event that Boris Johnson goes. And I think that's people like Nadim Zahawi and Liz Truss. They've got their eye on the fact that there's a decent minority of the Conservative activist base who are very committed Boris Johnson supporters, and they'll want their support in a leadership contest. And the other half are people who simply know in their heart of hearts that they wouldn't be serving in a government with a prime minister who had more options. So none of it's particularly inspiring. I don't think you're going to get many edifying press rounds out of this government just because of the impossible position they're in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the greatest respect to Nadim Zahawi, he might be a fine chancellor, but Boris Johnson puts politicians in an impossible position. And what will happen eventually is what he's done to so many others, is that Nadim will be sent out to defend some indefensible line, and he'll go and do it like a loyal cabinet member, and then 20 minutes or an hour later Boris Johnson will change his mind and make him look like a fool. And if he's prepared to put up with that, good luck to him.
We're hearing some analysis earlier, Kevin, that, you know, we need another maybe half dozen senior cabinet ministers to resign in order to push Boris Johnson over the edge, but now we have 16 people across the board. How many is it going to take?
I know, I think the other cabinet ministers appear to be staying. So I think it's come down to the Conservative Party backbenchers, the MPs, those overlooked, those snubbed, those who resigned, those who were never considered, those in seats in parts of the country long away from London, and the MPs themselves may not be household names. I think that's where his fate will be decided, and they will depose him, I believe, now. He will be toppled.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be the cabinet. It's going to be the ordinary MPs.
Henry, will you be there by the end of the week?
This morning, I'd probably have said so, but this news about the 1922 committee accelerating their timetable makes that less and less likely by the minute. You know, ultimately, it is Tory MPs who have the power to force him out if he doesn't want to resign. And if they decide to do it, he could be gone in a couple of days.
Henry Hill from Conservative Home and Kevin Maguire from the Daily Mirror. Thank you both for joining us. Quick break here.
Today with Clare Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.